Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Brachot Perek Aleph. The Rambam counts one mitzvah in the koteret of Hilchot Brachot, Livarech et Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachar Achila. He explains what this means in Halacha Aleph. Mitzvat Asei Min HaTorah Livarech Achar Achilat Mazon. Shnemar, ve'achalta, ve'savata, ve'irachta, et Hashem Elokecha. Ve'ino chayav min haTorah, ela im sava. Shnemar, ve'savata, ve'irachta. U'midivrei sofrim, sh'afilu achal kazayit, mevarech acharav. There is a mitzvah d'oraita to bless the name of Hashem after eating mazon, food. The term mazon is very general, but we'll see in Paragimel that the mitzvah d'oraita applies only after eating foods made from five specific types of grain, and possibly specifically to bread made from one of those five species. The Torah mitzvah applies only if the person ate to satiation, as the pasuk says, v'savata. But midrabanan, this mitzvah applies even if he ate just the smaller amount of a kazayit. This bracha, which we call Birkat HaMazon, is the only bracha with a source in the Torah, though we mentioned in Hilchot Tefillah Perek Zayin that the Ramban believes that Birchot HaTorah are also a Torah commandment. Most of the content of the six prakim after this one, prakim Bet through Zayin of Hilchot Brachot, deal with the details of Birkat HaMazon and its offshoots, like Zimun and Netilat Yadayim. In Halachot Bet and Gimel, the Rambam goes on to list other rabbinically mandated brachot, which will be discussed at further length in the last four prakim of Hilchot Brachot. The remainder of Perek Aleph deals with general principles of brachot of all types. Halacha Bet. U'midivrei sofrim levarech al kol ma'achal tchila, v'acharkach yehane mimenu. V'chein im heiriach reach tov, yivarech v'acharkach yehane bo. Ve'afilu nitkaven lechol o lishtot kolshehu, mevarech, ve'acharkach nehene, ve'chol hanene b'lo bracha, ma'al. There is a mitzvah midrabanan, to make a bracha before eating any food, and before smelling a pleasant smell. We refer to these as birchot ha-nehenin, brachot on deriving pleasure. And in the case of a food item, it is also called a bracha rishona. The details of bracha rishona on foods will be discussed in Perek Chet, and brachot on pleasant smells will be discussed in Perek Tet. Anyone who benefits from these items without a bracha is considered as if he is guilty of mi'ilah, benefiting from hektesh, an object consecrated to God. This analogy, along with the Rambam's interesting phrasing of yivarech v'acharkach yehene mimenu, twice, in both contexts of food and smell, suggests that the nature of birchot ha-nehenin is different from that of Birkat HaMazon from Halacha Aleph. Whereas Birkat HaMazon is a way of thanking and praising Hashem for food and sustenance, the purpose of the Birchot HaNe'enin is to allow us to partake of God's world, which is considered off-limits, the equivalent of Hekdesh, until a Bracha Rishona is made. The halachic term for this nature of Birkat HaNe'enin is that it is a matir. It gives us permission to do something, and in this case, derive benefit from the world. One immediate nafkamina is the question of amount. We saw that Birkat HaMazon is only said after eating a kazayit. Regarding bracha rishona on foods, the Rambam mentions here no such limitation, and in Perek Gimel he writes explicitly that a bracha is made before eating even a small amount. This is in contrast to what he goes on to say in the rest of this halacha about brachot recited after eating. V'chein midivrei sofrim levarech achar kol shiochal v'chol shiyishteh. V'hu shiyishteh rivi'it, v'hu shiyochal kazayit. U'mit emet einat zricha bracha, lo lefanev lo lachareah ad rivi'it. There is also a mitzvah midrabanan to make a bracha after eating or drinking anything, on condition that the amount is a kazayit for food or a rivi'it for drink. We call this a bracha achrona. A bracha achrona is a rabbinic extension of Birkat HaMazon and expresses thanks to Hashem and praise of Him for the sustenance we have received. As such, it follows the model of Birkat HaMazon, that we only need to express these ideas after consuming a significant amount, a kazayit or a revi'it. But since the purpose of a bracha rishona is to be a matir, it must be said before consuming even a small amount of food. The last line of his halacha says that someone who tastes a small amount of food just to check its taste, not for the purpose of deriving any benefit from it, does not even make a bracha rishona. The Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions whether this is true even if the person swallows the small amount he tastes or only if he spits it out. According to the first opinion, since the intent of the person is not to benefit but only to check the food, there is no need for the matir of bracha rishona even though he swallows it. According to the second opinion, whenever he swallows food, no matter his intent, this is benefit which requires the matir of a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah recommends that anyone tasting a small amount of food have in mind that he does intend to benefit from it, in which case, according to all opinions, he must make a bracha first. Halacha Gimel. Uchishem shemevarchin al hanaya, kach mevarchin al kol mitzvah u'mitzvah v'acharach yaseh ota. Uvrachot rabot tiknu chachamim derech shevach v'hodaya v'derech bakasha, kdei lizkor et haborei tamid, af al pi shelo neheneh v'lo asa mitzvah. Two more types of brachot established by Chazal are those made on encountering various objects, places, or experiences in which it is appropriate for someone to praise God and thank Him. These are discussed at length in Perek Yud. And brachot made before the performance of a mitzvah, which contain the formulation, Asher Kiddushanu Mishtavit Sivanu, and which we'll learn about in Perek Yud Aleph. Notice the comparison made by the Rambam between a bracha on a mitzvah and a bracha rishona on food. The explicit analogy between them, using the word kishem, and the parallel language of mevarchin v'acharkach yaseota, just as we saw in Halacha Bet, mevarech v'acharkach nehene. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that perhaps just as we need a matir to derive physical benefit from this world, so too we need a matir to serve Hashem, even in ways that He commanded us to. The Rambam may believe that the very act of approaching God in order to serve Him requires permission. In Halacha Dalet, the Rambam summarizes the last two halachot, so we go on to Halacha Hey. V'nosach kol ha-brachot, ezra uveitino tiknum, ve'ein ra'ui l'shanotan v'lo lehosif alachat mehen v'lo ligro mimena. V'chol ha-meshane mimatbea shetavu chachamim ba-brachot, eino ela to'e. V'chol bracha she'ein ba haskarat Hashem u'malchut, eina bracha, ela imkein haita smucha l'chaverta. The exact formulation of each bracha was established by Ezra and his Beitin, and we are not allowed to deviate from it. The Rambam uses the phrase which we saw in Hilchot Kriyat Shema Perek Aleph, Kol ha-meshane mimarpeh shatavu chachamim bibrachot eino ela to'eh. But here the Rambam leaves out the last part which he said there, namely that one who uses an incorrect formulation needs to repeat the bracha in the proper manner. The Kesef Mishnah suggests that the din is different for the different types of changes one can make to a bracha. If one changes the wording while keeping the same essential meaning, then even though he should not have made that change, he need not repeat the bracha. But if he changes the meaning, for instance, if before eating fruit he praises Hashem for creating the world without relating specifically to the creation of fruit, borei pri ha'etz, then he must repeat the bracha. The Rambam himself alludes to this distinction in Halacha Vav, where he says that a bracha can be made in any language as long as it contains the name of Hashem and mentions His kingship over the world. These together are referred to as Shem u'Malchut, and as long as it preserves the essential meaning of the original bracha. Every bracha must include Shem u'Malchut, except the situation of a bracha hasmucha l'chaverta, one bracha following on the heels of another, which we saw in Hilchot Kriyat Shema. That kind of bracha does not begin with Shem u'Malchut. Halacha Zayin. Kol ha-brachot kulan tzarich shiyashmia le'ozno mashu omer. V'im lo hishmia yatsa, bein shoti bisfatav, bein shebereich bilibo. A bracha should be recited loudly enough to hear the words himself, though he is yotze the bracha even if he says it too quietly to hear, and even if he doesn't utter the words at all, but just thinks them to himself. The Kesef Mishnah quotes the opinion of Rashi and other Rishonim that he must say the words with his lips and not only think them, and he rules in accordance with this view in the Shulchan Aruch. But the Mishnah Berurah adds that in a case of onus, where one cannot actually say the words, like if his lips are physically shut together, then he may think the bracha in his mind. If the ones passes and the bracha is still relevant, he should say it with his mouth at that point. Halacha chet. Kol habrachot kulan lo yafsik bein habracha uvein davar shemevarchin alav bidvarim achirim. Vim yifsik tzarich lachzor ulvarech shnia. Vim yifsik bidvarim shein meinyan davar shemevarchin alav eino tzarich levarech shnia. One may not interrupt between a bracha and eating the food on which the bracha was made, and one who does so must repeat the bracha, unless the interruption had to do with the food or with the act of eating. Examples the Rambam brings at the end of the halacha include asking for salt or something else to eat with the bread he just made the bracha on, or telling someone to give food to another person at the meal, or to an animal. The Gemara in Brachot says that one must see to it that his animals are fed before he eats himself. The Rama rules that the chatchila one should not interrupt even for these purposes. Halacha Tet. Kol ha-brachot kulan mutar la-tamei levarechotan. Bein haya tamei tumat shehu yachol la-lot mena bo bayom. Bein tuma sheino yachol la-lot mena bo bayom. Va-asur la-mvarech levarech kishu arom ad shichase ervato. Bamei dvarim amurim bi-ish. Aval isha yoshevet ufaneha tuchot bakarka umvarechet. We saw this halacha regarding Kriyat Shema and Tefillah as well. Anyone who is tamei may make a bracha, but one who is naked may not make a bracha until he covers his erva. For a woman, it suffices to sit on the ground, as this itself covers her erva, but a man's erva must be covered with a piece of clothing or something similar. Even though the Rambam discussed the details of erva in Hilchot Kriyat Shema, this is the first time he mentions how a woman must cover her erva, presumably because women make brachot all the time, but are not obligated to say Kriyat Shema. Halacha Yud, kol ha-brachot kulan, af al pi she-berech v'yatza yidei chovato, mutar lo levarech la-acherim shelo yatzu yidei chovatan, kedei lo-tzian, chutz mi-birkat ha-naya she-ein ba-mitzva, she-eino mevarech la-acherim ela im kein nehenaim ahen. Aval birkat ha-naya she-yesh ba-mitzva, kegon achilat matza b'lelei ha-pesach, v'kidush ha-yom, harei ze mevarech la-acherim, v'ochlim v'shotim, af al pi she-eino ochel b'shota imahen. Even though someone has already made a bracha for himself, he may make it again on behalf of someone else. We'll see in the next halacha exactly how one is yotze with a bracha made by someone else. This is based on the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Bazeh. All Jews bear responsibility for one another, so that if one Jew hasn't yet fulfilled a mitzvah, then even the obligation of another Jew has not been completely carried out. This is true of a bracha on a mitzvah, for example, hearing the shofar or reading the Megillah. But one cannot make a bracha on food on behalf of someone else unless he also needs that bracha for a food he is eating. And even in that case, there are other factors, as we'll see in Halacha Yud Bet. The principle of arvut, responsibility, that we mentioned earlier, is relevant only for mitzvot, not for hana'a like eating. But in cases where eating and drinking is also a mitzvah, like eating matzah at the Seder or drinking wine at Kiddush on Friday night, then one may say even the Birkat HaNe'anin of Hamotzi or Hagafen on behalf of someone else, even if he has already fulfilled the mitzvah and isn't eating or drinking now at all. Halacha Yud Aleph. Kol ha-shomea bracha min ha-brachot mitchilata va'ad sofa, v'nitkaven latzeit ba'idei chovato, yatsa, va'af al pi shelo ana amen. V'chol ha'one amen achar ha-mevarech, ha-rehi ukam varech. V'hu shiyah ha-mevarech chayav ba'ota bracha. Hayah mevarech chayav midivrei sofrim, v'ha'one chayav min ha-torah, lo yatsa yidei chovato, ad shiyane o yishma mimishu chayav ba min ha-torah kemoto. One who hears a bracha from beginning to end and has in mind to be yotze, is yotze even though he does not answer amen. It is better, however, to say amen, as this elevates the listener to be the equivalent of one who makes the bracha himself. Either way, however, the listener is only yotze if the mivarech, the speaker, is obligated in the bracha at the same level as him. If the listener is obligated midoraita, but the mivarech is only obligated midrabanan, like, for example, a woman making the bracha of al nitilat ulav for a man, then the listener is only yotze if he recites the bracha word for word by himself. The Kesef Mishnah points out that the phrase ad shiyane at the end of the halacha does not refer to answering amen, as even answering amen only works if the mevarech is obligated at the same level as the listener. Rather, it means saying each word of the bracha along with the mevarech. Halacha Yudbet. Rabim shnit va'adu lechol pat o lishtot yayin, uverech echad mehen va'anu kulan amen, hare ilu mutarin lechol v'lishtot. Avalim lo nitkavnu lechol ke'echad, ela zeba me'atzmo ve'zeba me'atzmo, afa pi she'en ochlin mikikar echad, kol echad ve'echad mevarech l'atzmo. Bamed varim amurim, befat ve'yayin belvad. Aval sha'ar ochalin u'mashkin einan tzruchin hasiba, ela im berech echad v'anu kulam, hare ilu ochlin v'shotin, afa pi she'en lo nitkavnu lehasev ke'echad. In Halacha Yud, we saw that one person can be motzi another in a bracha on food if he himself is eating and needs to make the same bracha. The Rambam adds here that this works across the board for most foods, but not for bread or wine. These two foods are special in that they are generally eaten bikviut, meaning that people sit down with intent to eat bread together or drink wine together as a group. So one can be motzi someone else in bread or wine only when the two are eating together bikviut, not when each happens to sit in the same place and they happen to be eating the same food. While the Rambam is more makil, more lenient, when it comes to foods eaten without kviut, like fruits and other snacks, and permits being yotze with someone else, the Ravid understands differently the Gemara, which is the source of this halacha, and he is more machmir in the case of these foods. Without kviut, there is nothing binding together the person making the bracha and those listening to it, and so there is never an option to be yotze with someone else, and everyone must make his own bracha on the food he eats. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the leniency of the Rambam, and the Rama is machmir like the Ravid. The next three halachot summarize the laws of answering amen to a bracha, and we'll summarize these outside. In general, one who hears a bracha, even if he doesn't need to be yotze with it, and therefore didn't hear all the words from beginning to end, must answer amen afterwards. This word is an expression of affirmation, of the praise of Hashem contained in the bracha. The Rambam brings four cases in which one does not answer amen, and we'll list them. 1. If the mevarech is a goy, or a heretic, a min, in which case the assumption is that he did not truly intend to praise God when he made the bracha. The Rama disagrees in the case of a goy, as it is possible that a goy is sincerely praising God. Case number 2, a child who recites a bracha not because the situation calls for this bracha, but solely for the purpose of learning how to say it. Case 3 is an adult Jew who says a bracha with the incorrect wording, mishanem mimatbea, that we discussed earlier, or who says a bracha sheina tzricha, that is, a bracha which he did not need to say. The Rambam considers bracha sheinat tzricha to be a violation of the Torah prohibition against shvuat shav, an unnecessary oath, because of the name of Hashem being taken in vain. The Mishnah Berurah quotes other Rishonim, who believe that while there is a Torah prohibition against saying the name of Hashem for no purpose, the prohibition is only rabbinic when the name is said in the context of a bracha, accompanied by praise and thanks. And case 4, we mentioned that one answers amen even if he didn't hear every word of the bracha, if he does not need to be yotze with it. But someone who does need to be yotze with a bracha, said by someone else, but does not hear every word of it, as he needs to in order to be yotze, as we saw in Lachir Aleph, should not answer amen. The Rambam also mentions four problematic forms of answering amen which need to be avoided. They are, number 1, amen chatufa, meaning he started saying amen before the bracha was entirely completed. Number 2, amen kitufa, meaning that the word amen was not enunciated properly and the letter was left out, either the aleph at the beginning or the nun at the end. Number 3, amen kitsara and amen aruka, meaning amen was said too quickly or too slowly, dragging it out unnecessarily. And number 4, amen which is said more loudly than the bracha which it is answering. As the amen is an affirmation of the bracha said before it, it should be no louder than the bracha itself. Halacha Ted Zayin. Kol ha'oneh amen achar birchotav, harei ze miguneh. Ve'ha'oneh achar bracha shi sof brachot acharonot, harei ze meshubach. Kegon achar bonei Yerushalayim bibirkat amazon, ve'achar bracha achrona shel kriyat shema barvit, ve'chein besof kol bracha shi sof brachot acharonot, oneh ba amen achar atzmo. In general, one should not answer amen to his own bracha, as it is repetitive and unnecessary to affirm what one has just said himself. The exception is the last bracha in a series of brachot, where an ending amen is an indication that the series has ended. The Rambam begins with the best-known example of this phenomenon, which is after the third bracha of Birkat HaMazon, ending Uvenei Yerushalayim, and then Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei Barachamab Yerushalayim, Amen. Even though there is still one more bracha of Birkat HaMazon after this one, that one was established later, and is not considered part of the essential Birkat HaMazon, as the Rambam mentions in Halacha Yud Zayin, and as we'll learn in the next perek. The Rambam mentions one other example of Hashkivenu, the last of the four Birchot Kriyat Shema in Ma'ariv. The Shulchan Aruch adds two other instances of this, each one the second bracha in a pair of two between which Prakim of Tehillim are recited, the bracha of Yishtabach at the end of Psukei Dezimra, and the bracha of Yehalucha at the end of Hallel. Sfardim follow the Shulchan Aruch in all of these, but Ashkenazim, following the Rama, say Amen to their own bracha only in the case of Bonei Yerushalayim, which we mentioned first. Halacha Yutet. Kol ha'ochel davar ha'asur, bein bizadon bein bishkaga, eino mevarech alav, lo batchila v'lo basof. Ketzad, harei sha'achal tevel, v'afilu tevel didivrehem. O shachal maser rishon shelo nitlu kol trumotav, o maser sheni vehekte shelo niftu kilchatan, eino mevarech, ve'ein tzarich lomar im achal nevelot utrefot, o shata yayin esech v'chayotzei behem. One who eats forbidden food does not make a bracha on it, nor does he make a bracha achrona even if he ate it by accident. The examples the Rambam brings include tevel, that is, produce from which truma and masrot haven't been separated, even tevel, which is only obligated in trumot and masrot on the level of midrabanan, maser rishon, from which trumat maser hasn't been separated, maser sheni and hekdesh, which were not properly redeemed, as well as nevelot, trefot, and yayin esach. The Ravid disputes this psak of the Rambam and believes that forbidden foods are exempt only from bracha achrona, not from bracha rishona. This distinction makes sense in light of our discussion from the beginning of the perek about the difference between these types of brachot. Bracha achrona, like birkat mazon, is a form of praise and thanks to Hashem for the food we just ate. If Hashem, in fact, forbids us to eat that food, then any praise and thanks is mockery. Someone who violates Hashem's command cannot then thank him for what he gained by doing so. But bracha rishona is not praise and thanks. It's a matir to get any kind of benefit from the world Hashem created. Even if the food is forbidden, one who eats it has no right to the physical benefit it provides without the matir of bracha rishona. The Rambam, as we inferred from his language in Halacha Bet, agrees that bracha rishona is a matir. But evidently he believes that it makes no sense to speak of a matir with regard to a food which is halachically prohibited. Chazal only established the institution of bracha rishona, according to the Rambam, for foods which are halachically permitted and don't run afoul of the rules governing machalot asurot. In Halacha Kaf, the Rambam lists examples of foods which are not technically classified as forbidden, and therefore get a bracha both before and after, even though they are not eaten in the most halachically correct manner. For example, demai is produce from which we are not sure if the owner, an am haaretz, has been mafrish trumot umasrot. The halacha is that only a pauper, an ani, may eat demai, but as it is not machalot asurot, even someone who isn't an ani, who eats demai in violation of this halacha, would still make a bracha on it.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.